greetings, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Does the Bible tell us what is going to happen in Europe within the next few years? Whether Europe will unite, whether the euro will survive, who will have the leadership position in Europe? Yes, my friends, indeed, the Bible does tell us very clearly, and we can already see developments taking place in that part of the world which show us how ultimately these fulfillments, as mentioned in Scripture, will be reached. I'd like to start by reading to you from a very interesting article which was published by Reuters on May 31, 2012, saying this: how many countries will Germany need to bail out before it has erased the guilt of the Holocaust? That is the provocative question posed by Thilo Sarrazin, who was a former regional politician and also a Bundesbank governor. He says supporters of Eurobonds are driven by that very German reflex, according to which atonement for the Holocaust and the world wars will never be complete until we have delivered our entire public interest and even our money into European hands. And then the article goes on to say that an opinion poll last week provides just the latest proof that Sarrazin has his finger on the national pulse. But the German political establishment is falling over itself to bury his arguments. Many topics are declared outside the realm of political competition. The result is a restricted political sphere where politicians have often been able to act against public opinion without fear of challenge. But those who dare cross the threshold of political correctness, as Sarrazin has repeatedly done, tap into a vast reservoir of pent-up popular frustration. And because the establishment cartel turns them into outcasts, rather than arguing with their views, this reservoir continues to grow. And then they are asking the very pointed and interesting and alarming and frightening question. It is unlikely, they say, that the anti-charismatic Sarrazin will end up becoming the German equivalent of Holland's Gerd Wilders or Austria's Jörg Haider. But the refusal of mainstream politicians to engage in full-throated political competition with their opponents could pave the way for someone equally undesirable to claim that mantle. It would be a tragic paradox if the German establishment's guilt over past extremism hampers its ability to overcome the populists of the future. And the Bible, my friends, makes it very clear that such a populist will arise in Europe, in Germany. But what most people don't realize, this person is not going to be anti-European. He is not going to be a nationalist. He will be for Europe. And we read in the Bible that 10 nations or groups of nations, core Europe, as we will see in a moment, will give their authority and their power to that charismatic political leader, somebody who has not arisen yet, but we are waiting to see him arise, somebody who may not even be originally looked at, someone who is going to take that position, that office. But once he is in office, he will rule with an iron fist, and democracy will be a thing of the past in Europe. That is what the Bible tells you. The Bible also identifies this person. The Bible calls that person the beast in the book of Revelation. Now let me read to you another article from Der Spiegel Online, dated June 12, 2012, which has this to say. It's asking the question, has Germany learned its lessons from history? They say, the European Union was created to avoid repeating the disasters of the 1930s, but Germany, of all countries, has failed to learn from history. As the euro crisis escalates, Berlin should remember how the banking crisis of 1931 contributed to the breakdown of democracy across Europe. Breakdown of democracy across Europe. It goes on to say, today's Germans appear to attach more importance to the year 1923, the year of hyperinflation, than to the year 1933, the year democracy died. They would do well to remember how a European banking crisis 2 years before 1933 contributed directly to the breakdown of democracy, not just in their own country, but across the European continent. While 24 European regimes had been democratic in 1920, the number was down to 11 in 1939. Giving up sovereignty is inevitable, this article says. However, beginning subject to a neo-colonial submission of one's fiscal policy to Germany is not acceptable. Germans must understand that the cost of a breakup of the Eurozone would be astronomically high for themselves as much as for anyone. And in passing, most Germans do understand that, even though they don't like it. And so we are hearing voices to the effect that Germany will do everything they possibly can to prevent a breakup of the Eurozone. And so I can say to you, my friends, that the Euro is not going to fail. But this article goes on to say, after all, Germany's current prosperity is in large measure a consequence of monetary union. The Euro has given German exporters a far more competitive exchange rate than the old Deutsche Mark would have. And the rest of the Eurozone remains the destination for 42% of German exports. Plunging half of that market into a new depression can hardly be good for Germany. Ultimately, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel herself acknowledged last week, monetary union, and I want you to listen to this very carefully, monetary union always implied further integration into a fiscal and political union. But before Europe gets anywhere near taking this historical step, it must first of all show that it has learned the lessons of the past. The EU was created to avoid repeating the disasters of the 1930s. It is time Europe's leaders, and especially Germany's, understood how perilously close they are doing just that. Perilously close, it says, they are doing just that. You see, the problem is, my friends, that we haven't learned from history. And so what we are going to see is that Europe will unite in a way which people don't realize and expect. And democracy, as I said, will become a thing of the past. Tendencies are already in the making to that effect. Let me read to you from an article which was published on June 12, 2012, by the Associated Press, saying this: European officials are working on a range of contingency scenarios covering actions that could be to control the movement of people and money. Control the movement of people and money in the event of Greece abandoning the euro currency. A European Union spokesman said Tuesday that, legally, limits could be imposed on movement of people and money across national borders within the EU if it is necessary to protect public order or public security. I don't know how you feel about this. I am immediately reminded of a scenario in World War II where the movement of people and money was restricted and then prevented. I am talking, of course, about concentration camps. I'm not saying that that politician had that in mind, but it's very dangerous vocabulary. It's very dangerous scenarios which are being contemplated here. Let me also read to you from The Guardian, a British paper, dated June 4, 2012, saying, it is a measure of the speed at which the politics of the euro crisis is changing. By announcing there could be no censorship of the eurozone to-do list, Angela Merkel meant tabling radical federalist steps involving gradual loss of national sovereignty over budgetary, fiscal, social, pensions, and labor market policies, with the aim of forging a new European political union over 5 to 10 years. So here we have it. That is what they want to do. They want to create a political union. Now, how is this going to happen? The Guardian continues to say, it is a divisive and contested notion which Merkel did not always favor. In the heat of the crisis, however, she now appears to see no alternative. And from a human standpoint, there isn't really any alternative. But we are looking at this, of course, from a biblical prophesied standpoint. It goes on to say, the impact of the project will be immense if it takes off. A much more entrenched notices, two-speed Europe would emerge, with key decision-taking centered in the Eurozone and not in an EU of 27 or 28. And then the article goes on to say that Great Britain won't be part of this process. And the German press has already stated that Great Britain, through their politics, has already gotten to the point where they will soon leave the EU. You see, my friends, the Bible tells us that it's going to be 10 European nations or groups of nations, core Europe, which is going to give the power and authority to the charismatic political and military leader called the beast in Scripture. So what we are seeing right now is developing into this scenario. Let me also read to you from Deutsche Welle, which reported on June 7, 2012. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel sees the future of the EU in a closer political union that gives Brussels more authority. We don't only need a currency union, we also need a so-called fiscal union, she said in an interview with German broadcaster ARD aired on Thursday. And we also need first and foremost, a political union, meaning we must cede responsibilities to Europe step by step, she said. Merkel acknowledged that the EU now has different speeds, referring to the countries in the Eurozone and those that have their own national currencies. She said the differences would become more pronounced over time because the Euro countries would inevitably draw closer together. We cannot stand still because others don't yet want to come along, she said, specifically, of course, having Great Britain in mind. And then also the EU Observer wrote on June 7, 2012, the Chancellor made the clearest case yet for a two-speed Europe in matters of economic integration. But it's not just talking about monetary integration. We are talking about political integration. We are, yes, talking about military integration. A unified European military is going to develop. And then finally, The Local stated on June 7, Chancellor Angela Merkel said Thursday that she would work towards a European political union, even if that meant a two-speed approach. And so this is exactly, my friends, what the Bible has prophesied all along, that we ultimately have a core Europe of 10 nations or groups of nations under German leadership, giving the power and authority to the beast, a charismatic German politician. He will rule for a very short time, but he will plunge this world into what the Bible calls a great tribulation. No one is going to be able to stop it. Everybody will be caught by surprise when it happens. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ warned us. He said, the time will come so bad. They have never happened before these days, and they will never happen again. But if those days wouldn't be shortened, no human being would survive. The good news, my friends, is that those days will be shortened. The good news, my friends, is that Jesus Christ will return, and he will shorten those days, and he will restore the kingdom and the government and the rule of God here on this earth. No human government has ever brought peace. It's not going to be the United States of America. It's not going to be the British Commonwealth. It's not going to be the United States of Europe or Russia or any of those powers. They will be replaced when Jesus Christ returns to restore the kingdom, the righteous, godly kingdom on this earth and rule mankind with mercy, with compassion, but also with righteousness and also with an iron fist in that sense that he is not going to tolerate rebellion anymore against God's law. Yes, that's going to happen, and it's good for mankind. That is what we should be waiting for. That is what we should be praying for. Christ told us to pray daily, your kingdom come. Let us do that, my friends. And thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.